Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Although physically blind, Janet Perez Eccles has been teaching thousands to see the best of life. She lost her eyesight at 31 and endured the murder of her youngest son. Janet says, "My life should have been a mess, but God gave me a message to showcase His power. His power at work to conquer fear and turn the deepest pain to a life rich with triumph and success." Oh, dear friend, as you listen today, during our time, as we share with you and our time with Janet Perez Eccles, our heart is to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't yet know Him, the love of Christ, the grace of Christ, Christ who loves you so much, dear friend, that He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Janet Perez Eccles, can touch your heart today. Would you turn to Him? Would you open your heart to Jesus? Indeed, that is our hope. That's our prayer. You know, without sight, but with insight, Janet has been an inspiration, filling the pages of her 4 books and keynote presentations in compelling fashion. Janet is with us today. Janet, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny. What joy to hear you speak truth in such a lovely way. Yes, we need to allow Jesus to touch our heart. I like that. Yes.
Janet, where did you grow up?
I grew up basically in the States. I was born in Bolivia, and we moved here when I was 12 years old. So we moved to St. Louis, Missouri from Bolivia.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Oh, that's an easy answer. My grandmother, who would sit in her bed with her Bible and reading that book every moment she could with her cat sitting next to her. And I was wondering, why is my grandmother so sweet all the time? Well, years later, I find out why, because she had the Word of God in her.
What is it that you, when you think about Grandma, were there things that she would say, things that she repeated that live on in your memory?
Well, I remember one time, it was kind of a sad life that we had in Bolivia. My grandfather was schizophrenic, and he had And back in those days, we didn't have medication, so he would have very many bizarre outbursts, and they were frightening. And I remember my grandmother one day going out in her garden and just kneeling down, and she just saying, "Jesus, Jesus, help me." And she kept calling the name of Jesus as if it was something that just came from within her. And she said it with such passion that I remember thinking, there is something about that name of Jesus that's helping my grandmother. And that just was engraved in my heart. And I can still see her, you know, how her desperate call out to Him. And I think that's how she retained her peace in moments that could have been very traumatic for her because of my grandfather's health.
Mm. Your Christian journey, your grandmother influenced you with her reading of the Bible, her example. How did you grow in your relationship with God?
I grew up, Danny, in a relationship that was non-existent, really, because we left my grandmother. When I was 12, she stayed in Bolivia. My parents, my brother, and I moved to the States. I was 12, and we grew up Catholic, so So I would attend church, I would attend mass, and I would go through the rituals, obeyed all the doctrine, all the things I was supposed to do. So I had very much a religion in my heart. And so when it came for me to cling to something in my desperation after losing my sight, that is when everything turned around. Religion was meant nothing. And I had to open my heart for something deeper, something better. And really, the only thing that works, which I found, was a relationship with Jesus.
Tell us about the process of losing your eyesight and how that impacted you.
It happened when I was 30. By then, things had worked out well. My husband and I got married after graduating from high school. We had three beautiful little boys. I was staying home, taking care of them. My husband had a great job. It looked like my life turned out like a storybook. A little girl from Bolivia finding the abundance and the prosperity one could hope for in Bolivia. I mean, here in the States. Until the day came when my world began to fall apart. A retinal disease of the retina, which is hereditary, I inherited from my father, began to rob my eyesight. In a matter of 18 months, my vision started to close in so rapidly that one day I woke up and my vision had closed in totally, leaving me in total darkness. There was no hope, no transplant, surgery, medication. There was nothing. Every ophthalmologist that we visited told us the same thing. There I was facing the rest of my life, unable to see. I must have been an emotional mess because my husband became distant from me, and one day he came home and told me that he couldn't go on with the marriage, that he had somebody else in his life. So there I was facing a life in physical darkness, devastated by the rejection of my husband and three little boys to take care of. Like I said, they were 3, 5, and 7 years old. And they needed me. So I'd be in the kitchen just groping for, you know, that box of cereal and trying to find ways to take care of them, to feed them, to clean the house, bathe them, put them to bed. I would go through the motions because no one else was there to help me. My parents lived close by, but my mother was going through her own trauma because my dad, coincidentally enough, was also losing his sight at the same time. So she was devastated about that. So I couldn't burden her. So she calls my house and asked me, honey, is everything okay? And I said, yes, but it wasn't. I was falling apart and I was dying inside.
How did you, you can't see, you're losing your sight, but you're still caring for your children. How did you make it through?
Well, the reason I kept doing my best to take care of them was because I was afraid someone would come and say, ma'am, you're blind, you can't take care of them, and take them away from me. So I would do my best, and I tried hard not to let them see me cry because I was just devastated and just so desperate. And one of those days when I felt like giving up, a friend called me and invited me to a Christian church. And that's where I began to listen to Bible verses, to Bible teachings, not just a verse here and there, but actually expanding what God's Word says. And I remember sitting in that pew, holding onto a Kleenex, trying to hold back the tears, hearing a verse on Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when I heard that, I thought, wait a minute, seek God first? What I was seeking is to be able to see Him. I wanted that miracle. I was begging for that. I wanted my life to be normal again. I wanted my husband to come back. That was number one for me. But God was saying, seek me first. And so I cried out to Him in my heart and said, show me, God. How do I seek You? I don't know how You'll have to teach me because inside I'm dying. And He answered that prayer almost immediately because someone gave me a Bible in audio. And I began to listen to it. It was like my heart was a dry sponge, ready to just go fall apart. But when I was listening to God's Word, His promises, His guidance, His comforting voice, it was like my heart was being refreshed and it came alive. And verses like the one in the book of Psalms that says, my word will be a lamp to your feet and a light for your path. He was speaking to me. He knew my darkness. He was promising that He would provide for me. He would provide the light that I needed. I embraced that promise, and I said, Lord, I'm going to believe in what you're saying. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to be confident that you are telling me the truth. And I listened some more, and he said that the plans he had for me were plans that were good, plans to prosper me, not to harm me, plans to give me hope and a future. You see, doctors weren't giving me any hope. No one was giving me a future, but God was promising me that. I believed it. And all that bitterness, that desperation, that fear of living blind the rest of my life, it vanished, and instead I was filled with peace, with comfort, and with wisdom. Wisdom to know how to react to my husband's announcement that he was leaving me. I told him, you know, you don't have to stay with me. You're free to go because I have somebody else in my life too. His name is Jesus. He will be the husband and the father that I need. So that's how everything turned around. We began to talk. He accepted. I told my husband, we have to pray together. We have to talk if you want to stay with me. And he said, I'm willing to give everything else up. I want to stay with you and our son. And so we prayed together. We talked. He became my best friend, and we just celebrated 41 years of being married.
Janet Perez Eccles, what can God do in the life of someone who loses her sight, whose husband makes a decision to leave, and yet through Christ, her husband ends up staying, and they've been together for over 40 years. The power of the gospel, you hear the joy in her voice. It's an amazing thing to hear. And she's with us today, sharing heart to heart with you. You wonder, how can someone come back from a setback like that? It's virtually indescribable. Perhaps today, you're going through your own setback. It's caught you by surprise. It might be something that's a part of your family, an ailment that has hit some of your loved ones, and now it's impacting you. Maybe it's a financial crisis that you're facing. Maybe a child has made a poor decision. Janet Eccles will share some sweetness when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
One of my mentors once told me that life is filled, you know, I grew up in Hawaii. So we're surrounded by water, and it made a lot of sense to me when I was told that life has its ebbs. There's an ebb and flow to life, but it's part of life. The beauty of it is, and this is really the beauty of it, is that Jesus Christ is with us in the ebb and flow. Not just the flow, not when things are great and smooth and grand and beautiful, but even in those moments when they're dark and dismal and disappointing and disheartening. Yeah, those moments. The Lord Jesus is ever present with us then, as he is, because he's always with us. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and Janet Perez Eccles. What a story. Before our break, she was talking with us about a potential breakup in her marriage, which never took place, but Christ was the difference maker in that.
Janet, now I want to just be sure. So did your husband leave you for a period of time?
No. What he did is, even though he was still with me, he was emotionally involved with somebody else. And, of course, we became very, very distant. He didn't physically move out, but emotionally he was not with me. And that was very painful because just the silence, the apathy was just torture for me. But whenever he was at work, you know, I would just be filled with God's word and his promises. And you know, Danny mentioned something important. It's the breakup that didn't take place. The breakup that took place in my life was I was breaking away from that woman I was before, that insecure woman longing to have my husband be the one who gives me joy, that gives me security, that makes me feel whole. How wrong was I to think that way? So I had to break away from that mentality, thinking that I need my husband for happiness, for security, where Jesus was saying, no, who you need is me.
You know, this is such a powerful message, but I have one other question right now. During that time, was your grandmother still living?
During the time my grandma, yes, she was still living. She was still living, but she was quite elderly by then. I think she was in a nursing home.
But did seeing her sitting, reading the Bible and calling out to Jesus, did any of that come back to you at that time?
It did. You know, Susan, what happened is when I was listening to God's word and via audio, it was almost like it was a full circle. I was thinking, that's where she found her peace. That's where it's at. It's when you hear God's word speak to you directly.
Yes.
And so, of course, that it wasn't something foreign to me. It wasn't like, what am I doing listening to the Bible? It was like, now I know. Now I understand. And of course, as God's sovereignty makes it happen, he exposed that to me at a very young age.
Oh, thank you.
Now you can hear Janet Perez Eccles on radio, Sweet Talk Radio, her program. And you can get a hold of her books at janetperezeccles.com. That's Janet Perez Eccles, E-C-K-L-E-S, E-C-K-L-E-S.com. It sounds like, Janet, that your husband came back to a different woman because you were transformed from within through your time with the Lord and the exposure to the Word of God, that you were, there was a different level of self-respect, a different level of dignity that exuded from you, a kind of divine attraction that came out because of what was happening on the inside. Am I on the right track as I perceive that?
You're exactly on the right track, Danny. In fact, in the last 15, 20 years that I've been ministering to women and men, they always say, you know, how can I change my husband? What can I do so that he could see the light and come back and come to his senses? And I would say, you can't change someone else. That's God's job. You need to change yourself. See, I had changed, as you so eloquently said, Danny. I had to make a transformation, allow God to make the transformation in me, to have the priorities in correct order, God's priorities, to be able to know where to find security, confidence, and wisdom. So see, yes, I did change, and he obviously saw that. I wasn't that hysterical young woman anymore, making him feel guilty for leaving me or for being distant. No, he saw someone whose identity was clear. I didn't find my identity as a blind woman. I was the daughter of the king. And you're right, I did deserve respect because of who I was in the Lord. And, of course, that must have been very apparent to him. And so I gained his respect, even though, yes, I was blind, but I was still someone that had a purpose. I had passion to serve the Lord, and I could be a mother, and God gave me the wisdom and the ability to do everything, to cook. And in fact, I'm a pretty good cook. I developed my own recipes, and so I was able to do everything other than drive. So God just provided all that, yes.
When we talk about beauty, we talk about the beauty that God brings, the attractiveness that is available, that's possible. I'd like to spend a few moments here on this because you're living it. We live in a world that really lifts and puts on a pedestal, physical beauty. And physical beauty is beautiful, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But there is a different kind of beauty and attraction that we all also know exists. And it comes from an inner beauty of the heart, an inner beauty that's cultivated with a healthiness, a wholesomeness, an authenticity. Describe the process for us, Janet, of how God began to work in you. And in so doing, as an example for someone that may be listening, that may be feeling quite low at this mm-hmm. moment.
Yes. In fact, yesterday I gave a talk about how to overcome either resentment or self-pity or insecurities. And, of course, with me, in a human emotion, I no longer could look in the mirror and fix my hair and put on makeup like I could before, even coordinate my clothes. But that scene, that had changed so much that to me that was not a priority. But God already, took care of that because He allowed me to see my world through the eyes of my heart. So now when I meet someone, I see them with the eyes of my heart for who they are. And that is such a blessing to be able to not be distracted by physical, the outward appearance. And with me, the same thing. I don't worry about how my hair looks and that. Although, in God's sense of humor, He allowed me the ability to put on my own makeup and eyeliner and fix my hair where people can't believe I still do it. But that's not my priority anymore. I want to be able to see how is it that he can be pleased with who I am inside. How do I give Him glory with the beauty of my life serving Him? That's, when you said that, I couldn't help but what I teach my granddaughter to just focus on making your inside beauty more apparent and be a high priority, especially in this world where we're driven by how we look, right, physically.
Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of you, Janet Perez-Eccles, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. 1 Peter 3, 4, 3, 3 and 4. Speak to someone today that needs some encouragement in that way as you go further, as you were leading.
Well, speaking of beauty, sometimes we don't see ourselves as God's creation. And when something devastating or disappointing or traumatic happens to us, we feel like, number one, what did we do to cause it? Number two, what's lacking in us? Or we don't measure up, or we're not enough. And that, to me, is that's how the enemy works, and bringing those types of thoughts. But God's Word says quite differently, how He made us, how He knit us in our mother's womb. We're perfectly, wonderfully made. So it's not so much how we look outside, but just how is it that we're going to conduct our lives? What is the beauty in our noble character, as the Bible says, that we exude to our husbands, to our family, our children, our friends? That should be a number one. And of course, in my case, Annie, I had to put that to the test, or God put it to the test in many ways, even after years of walking with Him and serving Him and knowing Him, where another much more serious and devastating tragedy happened in my life beyond my blindness, where I also had to think, okay, am I going to exude the life of a woman who's broken with heartache, or am I going to still exude the joy that God promised me, even though I'm devastated and my world is falling apart?
Janet, when we come back, we are eager to hear. Eager to hear, not in just from an just entertain me with the story. No, not that. But we are at a point now where, just in this time with you, there's such that sweetness, that unfading beauty of God's grace on you. Someone might be tuning in right now and they're thinking, this woman really has it together. And well, today she really does have it together. But you can't imagine what Janet Perez Echols has gone through. Not only at the age of 31, stricken with blindness, with her own sons to raise, but as we come back from our break, what she's going to share about her life. If you think you've got it tough, you think you're facing some challenge, well, we're going to another level. When we come back, more from Janet Perez Echols, Heart to Heart with you, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
Whether
guests.
Her messages are delivered in Spanish or English, they have been called transformational. I'm speaking of none other than Janet Perez Eccles. You can find out more about her and her ministry, her books, her radio show, JanetPerezEccles.com. And Eccles is with the E-C-K-L-E-S. Dear friend, if you've ever lived your life and you felt like things were going really well, maybe you've gone through a few bumps along the way in life, what happens when you face something that is completely indescribable? The Good Life Radio Show here. Danny Yamashiro, Suzanne Maurer with Janet Perez Eccles. Janet, what happened in your life that devastated you?
Well, it had about 8 years now that I had lost my sight and learned to embrace my blindness and serve the Lord. Began a ministry and I began to write books. And right before I finished my first book, one of those nights, my husband and I received a phone call late at night telling us that our 19-year-old son had been wounded, and we couldn't imagine what could have happened to him. He was captain of the football team, of the lacrosse team. He was a leader. He attended his Bible study, but he had been wounded, so we rushed over to where he was. Paramedics, ambulances were all there, and they said, ma'am, just go to the emergency room and wait for us there. And we were just wondering what could have happened to him. So we waited and waited, and that emergency room seemed black to me. Though not being able to see, it just seemed like I was in such a dark place because I didn't know what happened to my baby. Although he was 19, he was still my youngest. He was my baby. And then doctors walked in, and they said, are you the parents of Joe Eccles? I jumped to my feet, and I said, yes, where is he? How is he? When can we take him home? And that's when they said that my Joe had not survived the 23 stab wounds he had received. And I thought, Lord, how can that happen? That's my baby. Those things don't happen to those who know you. Why, Lord? Why me? Why now? And, of course, all those questions, I just bombarded in my heart. And I became numb. But, you know, in that still of pain, God spoke to my heart and he said, be still and know that I am God. And I don't know why that verse resonated so loudly inside of me. But now I know what God was saying. He knew my pain. He knew how my world had just fallen apart. But he was telling me he was still the same God. He was still the same powerful, loving God who lifted me up when I lost my sight and the infidelity episode of our marriage. He healed us. He would be there too. And inside my heart, I said, Lord, I'm going to hang on to that truth. I'm going to lean on you. I'm just going to ask, Lord God, I'm going to receive your comfort, because I did console my husband, our other two sons, my family. Everybody was just falling apart. And as days went by, it was almost like God's word would just brush my soul so sweetly, giving me the peace that I needed, the peace that brought about enough calmness to my heart to be able to think clearly and remember that my Joe, 2 years prior, had accepted Christ as his Savior. And I remember that night when he came home from that camp where he was told about salvation and he made that decision. He knocked our bedroom door and he said to my husband and me, we need to pray. And the three of us held hands and Joe prayed and he said, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for what you've done for my sins, and thank you for giving me parents to pray with me. And that was, I think, the happiest moment in my life, because I knew that when Joe's days would end on this earth, I knew what he would be, but I had no idea it would be 2 years after that. So the devastation of losing my son could have really just put me in misery and sorrow for the rest of my life, but it didn't, because I learned to turn my sorrow to gratitude. See, with that grace that God extends to us when we just give our pain and heartache to him, he brings us to that place of comfort and the peace that his word says goes beyond all understanding. And so that's when I exchanged my sorrow to gratitude. And people, when I share this with people, they say, how could you do that? How could you find gratitude in such a tragedy? And I say, you know, I have to be grateful because God's word says that those who accept Christ as their Savior, make Him the Lord of our life, have the guarantee of life eternal. So I knew where Joe was. I know where he is. And the Bible also says that in heaven, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame will leap. So I know I'm going to see him, and I'm going to see him with my own physical eyes.
Janet, I'm thinking about the proximity of time, just from the standpoint of a listener who's hearing you share this amazing perspective of God and God's hope and God's grace. Did this awareness come quickly, and you were able to respond right away with this perspective of hope, or did it take more time in the grieving process for it to really settle in? Just in case someone might be listening and thinking, wow, this is unreal. I mean, how quickly she just snapped out of it. And I mean, what was the time frame like? Did you go through a grieving period over the course of time?
Okay, let me explain this to you, and I think this is the best way to put this into perspective. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I lost my sight,
yes.
I didn't know the Lord. Mm. I was devastated. I mourned. I was bitter. I was angry. I was desperate. I was horrified. I was filled with fear. I went through all those horrible stages, not being able to eat. I was all those things that can attack you and leave you just paralyzed. When I lost Joe, I felt the heartache. I was devastated, unable to believe I could live a life without my youngest son. But let me tell you the difference. By that time, I knew God's word so well, and I think that's why his word is what resonated in my heart when the doctor gave us the news. Mm. I learned to hang on to whatever God was telling me. When he said he's close to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit, I believed it. So the days after Joe was killed, I stood behind a pulpit in church, and I said to all those kids, the church was so full, there was standing room only, I said to all those kids who were Joe's age, I said to them, you know, Joe didn't know that 2 days ago would have been his last day here on earth, but he made the right choice, so we know where Joe is now, and maybe life was to be an example for you. And let me tell you why I was able to speak without being desperately sobbing. Mm-hmm. And it was because I had such a reassurance from God's word. And that is what made a difference. I could have never stood and said one word had I not known God personally, intimately, if I didn't have my life, my soul, my heart soaked, saturated with his word. I could have never, never gone through that. So, yes, I went through the, I could not believe this, Lord, to the numbness, to the heartache, but it wasn't long before, I could stand on that place of peace. I remember sitting there on those metal chairs they sat next to his grave, and I kept hearing the chain cranking as his coffin went down into the ground. See, I couldn't see anything, but I heard that sound, and I said, my Joe is not in that box. My Joe is in heaven. He's rejoicing. He is in the presence of the Lord. So I was able to comfort those who were sobbing at their funeral because, see, I had a knowledge that came from God's word. Yes, too many people listening to us, Danny, would say, I can't believe that. That doesn't happen. And you're right. It doesn't happen in our own human abilities. It could never happen. But through God's grace, the impossible is possible.
Someone today, Janet, as they listen, they are grief-stricken. They've received news that they did not expect. There is a shocking experience or moment that they've recently had. Perhaps someone today knew that a loved one was sick. But still, when that moment comes, it's still a shock to realize that there's a transition taking place between life and death. Yes. Speak to them. Speak to the grieving mother, father, son or daughter, aunt or uncle, someone with a broken heart today.
Well, right now, you know, what you're going through are the human emotions, which are so understandable. The ones I went through myself. And we can never act like a robot and say, now that doesn't faze me. Move into that pain, but don't move it alone. Don't go into that pain until that heartache, the devastating news that perhaps you just heard that you have terminal cancer. You're not in it alone. The Lord said that He would be with you wherever you go, not to be afraid or dismayed, but be strong and courageous because you're never, never alone. You see, sometimes the pain is more profound, it's deeper and more devastating when you think, now what do I do? Now who do I turn to? But the thing is, it's not where do you go. It's where are you going to take me, Lord? How far are you and I going to go? I know, Father, that you're with me. You see, calling up to Him, knowing, believing, and being sure that He is with you makes a whole the difference in this world. Right now, I'm going to be going to a doctor's appointment because I have something that's going on in my body that's abnormally very high. And maybe you're going through the same thing, the uncertainty. What is going to happen? What is the doctor going to say? Or what he just said to me is something I never expected. But, you know, the Lord already knows our tomorrow. He knows the next step. He already wrote the next chapter. And if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, the ending is always triumphant. The ending is always happy and filled with joy, no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the doctors have said, no matter what the circumstances show. God is with us, and His power and His might and His sovereignty can never be beaten, can never be defeated. So I would say to you, triumph is yours. Yes. The answer is yours. You may not know it today, but God already knows it. Claim victory because of Christ. Walk with Him alongside of Him.
When we come back from our break, I want to spend our last segment with Janet Perez Eccles talking about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that has given Janet hope, that she knows beyond any shadow of doubt, she's going to see Joe, and she's going to see him with her own eyes. What is this good news, this gospel message that can make a difference in the most difficult moments of life? Janet Perez Eccles will share what that is when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
This woman of God is a woman of triumph because she is a follower of Christ, a servant of Christ, and she lives the gospel of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is a part of her life. You know, sometimes when we go through the difficult moments of our lives, our faith is galvanized to a different level of strength, resilience, power. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host Suzanne Maurer and Janet Perez Eccles, our guest today. You can find out more about Janet, her Sweet Talk radio program, and her books at janetperezeccles.com. Janet, the gospel, the good news. What is the good news, and why has the good news made a difference to you, and how can it make a difference to our listener today?
Well, the good news is exactly that. It kind of rags the bad news of our life that we live in. The good news is what gives us hope. The good news is what gives us guidance. And the good news is the promise of Jesus who came to tell us that this world, we will see trouble and tribulations. But he says, take heart, I overcame the world. That means that pain, that heartache, that devastating news has already been overcome by Christ Jesus. And, you know, as you say, what is the good news? The good news is something that has to resonate in your heart in the middle of pain, of loss, of tragedy, and also in the midst of injustice. And let me just illustrate what the good news meant to me. A year after my Joe was killed, the man responsible was tried in a three-day trial, and it was very difficult. It was extremely painful for me to hear what happened at night, how he and another man had pulled into a 7-Eleven. They got out of their cars, and the other man was armed with a knife and stabbed my Joe, and I had to listen to the medical forensic description of each of his wounds. And I would cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, give me strength to endure this. It was just so horrible to have to hear all that. But the Lord knew, and when we talk about the good news, it's because those good news turn into a power that allows you to do things that you may otherwise be impossible to do on your own. And at the end of the third day of that trial, we walked into the courtroom. The jury was ready for their verdict. And I said, Lord, thank you for allowing me to endure this because we need to see justice be served. Because the man had only suffered a scratch on his nose and he went home after stabbing my son. So we were hoping, you know, that the verdict would be one that would punish the man justly. So we stood to our feet. The verdict began reading, and my heart was beating hard, and I held on to my husband. And the verdict read, we find the defendant not guilty of all counts. The man had pled self-defense and went home free. And what does that mean to me? Did God forget me? How could a good God with good news, with the gospel vibrant in my heart, allow such injustice to be served? I was once again numb, thinking, Lord, where are you? No, this can't be. So my husband and I went home, picked up the pieces all over again. We did again what we had been doing for years and years, literally on our knees in our bedroom, by our bed, praying and asking God to give us understanding and peace. And this is where the good news comes in, where the power of the gospel comes alive. And that is when God's word guides us to a place of freedom. And this is when it happened. My husband said to me, you know what we haven't done yet? This is after weeks and weeks of praying. He said, we haven't forgiven the man. And it was almost like my husband was reading my heart, because I also thought about the same thing of forgiving the man. But I didn't mention it to my husband because thinking it would be too painful for him. But when he mentioned that to me, Danny, that's when we decided to forgive the man who killed our son. We didn't just forgive him in words. We forgave him completely and genuinely. Because you see, that's what the good news is. The good news is what speaks to our heart in a way that will bring us what we need. And at that moment, we need the freedom that only forgiveness brings. The freedom that comes only through Christ, through his grace, through his power, that allowed us to forgive the man, to embrace him and say, we forgive you because Jesus first forgave us. He forgave our sin. That's what the gospel does. That's what the gospel is, Danny.
Could you lead in a prayer? Prayer for someone as they listen to you. Not only are they captivated by your experiences, but the way the gospel of Christ has been moving in your life by the grace and power of God, their hearts are in need in a very personal way. And they're crying out to God, not even knowing how to put it into words. Mm-hmm. You know all about that, Janet. Mm-hmm. Could you lead in a prayer for this dear loved one of ours right now?
Oh, Father God, I pray for this person listening right now. Maybe he or she is on the verge of just giving up, just like I once was. Lord, they don't see hope. They just see darkness. They just see devastation. And they don't even know if they can understand your word. Maybe they don't even know what words to say. They don't even know how to utter a prayer. Father, I pray that right now your mighty hand brushes across his or her heart, Lord. Will you whisper to them, Father, and say, I am with you. I know your pain. I know the answer. Give me your hand. Let me lift you up. I will walk with you. Father God, speak to that heart. Speak to that mind who only right now holds thoughts of negativity, of self-pity, of anger, of fear, of anxiety. Father, will you whisper to them words of comfort? Will you let them know that only you can bring peace to their situation? Only you can bring the answer. Father God, would you lift their head and let them see you? Maybe for the first time, maybe this is not a coincidence that this listener just happened to be listening to this story, Father God. Maybe they realize that it's you speaking to them. It's your power that wants to penetrate that pain and darkness, Lord. May they turn to you. May they their lips utter the word yes to you, to your son Jesus, Lord. May this be a turning point in their lives, that they would turn away from whatever it is that happened, but they may choose to walk in your light. They may choose holding on to your hand to walk in the direction that you lead them, Lord. May they say yes. May they erase the sorrow because of you, O Lord, because of your mighty grace at work at this moment in their life, O God. You don't know what they need, but you do. You know where they've been. You know where they are. And you know where you can lead them. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the transformation that's taking place right now in this person's life. I thank you in the name your son.
Janet Perez Eccles is the author of the book Contagious Courage, another book, Trials for Today and Treasures for Tomorrow. That and other books available, even a book on salsa. But Suzanne, you had a quick question before we wrap our show today.
Janet, I just wanted to know quickly, your two boys, how have they done through this, and are they walking with the Lord?
My oldest son heard the gospel and the plan of salvation for the first time with his heart, because he knew what Joe had done, accepted Christ as his Savior, and he understood the meaning of it. My middle son, on the other hand, I think is still grieving. I think he's angry at God for taking his little brother.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes the earnest prayer in my heart, never losing hope that my Jeff will come to the Lord, that he will come to a realization as his older brother Jason did, who now Jason is serving the Lord earnestly, walking with him. And so it was two of them, two very different reactions, and I praise God because God is in control of both of their lives. So that's how they reacted.
Thank you.
Janet Perez Eccles, the power of the story, because it's earnest from the heart at the deepest levels. Janet, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your life with us.
Oh, the blessing was mine, Danny. Thank you for having me.
Encouraging Moments with Janet Perez Eccles. Find out more at janetperezeccles.com. My friend, you know, God's timing is indeed perfect. Okay, this is that moment when you've got a chance to hear Janet share her heart with you. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment, we believe, for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. And go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Janet Perez Eccles. Again, find out more at janetperezeccles.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll